to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening, and welcome to An Adventure in History. I'm Alana Quila with Providence Seaside Hospital, here tonight with Mac Burns, Clatsop County Historical Society, and a very exciting and special guest tonight.
I wondered what kind of adjective you were going to get today.
Exciting.
That's a good one.
Yep.
I think this is going to be exciting.
Dun. Big tease. Best show ever.
Best show ever.
Okay.
No pressure.
No pressure.
So do we make introductions now?
And we
then
can.
And then we can plug away. And then
we can, because we have a special guest here tonight who's going to talk to us about a fun week that we have ahead of us.
A very fun week, I hope.
So we have Commissioner Courtney Bangs here, Clatsop County Commissioner, and she's here and she's going to talk to us about the Clatsop County Fair.
And there's so many hats on top of her head. It's bouncing on the ceiling. There's so many different hats.
But fair is the main focus, because this is a big deal, right? We've gone a while without big events. So
That's right. Is
a big event.
A very big event. I'm actually extremely excited about it.
And the fair was like one of the first things out of the box here that declared we're going.
Yes.
It's time to start doing stuff again.
They were itching to go.
Yeah.
I'm
very impressed that you guys pulled the trigger and said we're doing it.
You know, I'm very impressed with the fair board. They have been problem solving from the beginning of the conversation about having fair this year, and just creating contingency plans upon contingency plans, and to be able to just say, wow, we're open.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Exciting.
I like the contingency plans for contingency plans.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's how we roll now.
That is kind of how we roll. Hey, and I have one plug and sort of thank you.
Yes.
We've started taking care of we've always taken care of, but sometimes better than other times. But we have a group of volunteers that are helping to take care of the Flavel House grounds.
Yes. And you've had a couple weeks now.
Two sessions. One week.
1 week.
So Monday nights from 5 to 7 or Wednesday mornings from 10 to noon. And I was told I never specified it was at the Flavel House grounds.
Oh.
Because, you know, there are other Flavel houses.
Oh, that's true. They probably need work, too.
Well, exactly. They're privately owned, but everyone sort of assumed that it was the museum that I was talking about.
Correct.
But we had a great group of people, and I missed Wednesdays. I was out of town.
Okay.
So I'm only naming a few people that came Monday night, but Rachel, Jacob, and Pam.
Wonderful.
And there were a couple of other people. And then Wednesday, there were like 10 people there, supposedly.
Oh, I love it. And it's drop-in.
Just drop in. You don't have to you're not making a commitment. You're not marrying the Flavel House. You're not going to have to be there every week for 2 or 4 hours for the next 5 months. If you just want to come once a month, that's great.
And free snacks.
Free snacks.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first night, because it was the first time we did this, I thought I should be there. And I kind of laid the groundwork. I was like, well, I don't know how long I can stay. I've got to go do some work. And I ended up just staying for two hours.
Oh, fun.
And I was shoveling up dirt and weeds. And it was actually kind of fun.
That's
nice. Nice conversation.
Yeah.
And Rachel is a local loyal listener.
Oh, good.
So I had to give a shout
out.
And she heard it here on the radio.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great.
So every Monday night, 5 to 7, we'll be there. And Wednesday mornings, 10 to noon.
Wonderful. Great. So,
you got anything? We're gonna. The whole show is a plug for the fair.
It is.
Do you have anything else you got to plug?
It fills our week. There's something every day. Really?
So you got anything else, or should we get to the history highlights so we can get right to it?
Let's do it. History highlights.
Okay, so these are things that happen tomorrow.
Yes.
So maybe while you're on your way to the fair,
yes.
Or when you're getting all your fair clothes together, or you're going shopping, or you're having lunch, here are things you can use as icebreakers to appear smart.
Chat about.
Or
write
interesting.
Them down. Think about.
So these are things that happen on July 26, 1908. The FBI is founded.
Oh, wow.
You're busted. Okay. 1931. Grasshoppers devastate the Midwestern crops, devastating millions of acres, especially in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. Those pesky grasshoppers.
I hear they taste good.
Covered
in chocolate.
Have you ever had a grasshopper?
Well, my dad talks about it. No. Not yet.
Because we were at like the Science Museum up in Seattle once, and they had a whole bug thing, and my wife ate a bug cookie, and it grossed the rest of us out.
Yes.
I can only imagine.
Why? I mean, a lot of the things we eat, though.
Yes.
if you think about it too much.
You know,
right?
Why this? Why not that? You know, why do we just look at a cow and go, let's eat it?
Yeah. I haven't had that conversation yet with my kids.
I'm sure it's coming, though.
Yeah, that's another aspect of fair. We'll get to that.
For a while, my son decided he was going to be a vegetarian because, you know, cows are cute and chickens are cute. But then he decided he liked fish. So then he decided I'd only eat bad animals.
Oh.
And I'm like, how do you know if this hamburger was a bad cow or a good cow? And then he gave up on it.
Yeah.
It was naughty. It's a naughty cow.
All right. 1945, Winston Churchill resigns. He always just makes me laugh. I know he's mean and sometimes he's terrible, but some of the things he says
are
mean.
Well written.
1948, President Truman desegregates the military. He signs the executive order 9981, equality of treatment and opportunity in the military. And we've never had any racial problems since. Right. Isn't it great?
Yeah. 1948. Right.
Problem solved.
Problem solved.
I sign an order. Yeah. Everything's great.
If
now.
Only it worked that way.
We do have a politician in the room.
Doesn't government work that way?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay. Maybe I missed something. 1990. And this was a tough one. This is almost going to be my history highlight of the day. The Americans with Disabilities Act is signed into law.
Oh, that is a good one.
It is a good one. But, and this is kind of a personal bias. I'm going to go off on my rant. I think I've gone on this before, but 1775, the U.S. postal system is established with Ben Franklin as the first postmaster general. Now, I don't know, Alana, if you've heard my rant before, and I'm sure you have not, but I love the post office. And I know they get a lot of bad grief sometimes, but just think about this business model. You can put for 50 cents an envelope in your mailbox out front of your house, and a guy will come and pick it up.
Or woman. There you go.
A post person in a cool uniform, in a cool little vehicle, will pick it up, and within a week, will drop it off at my brother's house in Florida in a mailbox for 50 cents. That's crazy.
It used to be by horse.
By horse or train. By person. But 50 cents, and they'll deliver this little piece of paper across the country.
Now, granted, I'm not sure if it's factual, but they used to do that with children.
You could
stamp your child.
You could mail a kid.
You could. Yeah.
Now, granted, I don't encourage anybody trying, but.
You heard it. So that's my history highlight today, because I think the post office, in its own way, with whatever faults it may have, and some days it's harder for me to be a cheerleader than other days, but it's just, to me, it's an amazing thing that links people together.
Yes, it is good.
So.
You still missed
Did I miss one?
And we already had talked about it this week, and you still missed it again. 1920, the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution is ratified.
Yeah.
And what did that do?
Well, it gave women the right to vote.
And we've never had any problems since.
Right, yes.
Really, we haven't.
But say that date again, though, because that's freaky.
Well, 1920.
1920.
Right.
There were no women before 1920?
And it was still very exclusionary, right? I mean, it still did not include all women,
it did
of course.
Not.
And you couldn't get a credit card still, but
that's
you know.
Right.
That's right.
Or buy your own house, but still.
1920. Well, if somebody else signed, of course.
Of course. Sorry, so heavy sarcasm.
Steps.
Dark little, movement. Yes.
Little steps, yes. But that is a milestone.
It is.
And they shortened their skirts that year.
Oh, they did?
Ooh,
I don't know. Oh. I just assume so, because it just... Came north.
I was hoping you were going to be like suddenly like a fashion expert because I was going to get into that. Like, so what height was it now? Is it 2 inches above the knee?
I think you could show your ankles. I don't know for sure.
Ankles. Okay.
I love it.
We need to make you a regular. I can tell.
So much to talk about. But she is here to talk about fair.
Yes.
Which is very important to you and your family. Yes. So maybe we start right there. Tell us a little bit
about
you.
Why is it important?
You.
And who are you?
Who am I? Well, I'm Courtney Bangs. No, when I first moved out here, I was an agriculture and FFA teacher in Rainier. Having moved and have previously been an agriculture and FFA teacher in Montana. I grew up in the Willamette Valley near Corvallis and met my husband at Oregon State and he transplanted me. So I call myself an import. But I fell in love with the community and I fell in love with the area. And when we had our second kiddo, I retired from being an agriculture and FFA teacher. And fair and animals and kids are a big part of my life. And I absolutely love fair. It's that moment where the kids can take all of their effort that they have put into the year and show it off. And then have that little bit of reward or that little bit of feeling of success. And so it's a neat experience. It's busy. It's long, it's tiring, it's sweaty, it's hot. I'm kind of grateful this year, knock on wood, our temperature,
knocked on plastic.
But the temperatures look good and the kids are so excited. And it's going to be my daughter's first year. Oh, so,
fun. And what is she showing?
A goat.
A goat.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm fascinated by goats.
Oh, goodness.
A little tangent sidetrack.
Oh, yes.
Are they wonderful, sweet animals or are they horrible, mean, nasty animals that'll eat anything?
With every animal comes a personality, and we have three, and two are pets, and one is the market goat, and the market goat has the largest attitude, I think, of them all. We may or may not be sad to see him go. I'm not sure yet.
And by market goat, you mean that you'll sell it?
Yeah, he'll go to auction.
Okay. All right.
So the festivities start on Tuesday, but move-in starts long before that.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that process. What happens?
Well, in past years, kids and families, they'll move in their animals. I know this evening, my daughter's extremely excited to decorate her stall. And so she'll put her name up on the stall and fill it with chips and get it ready for her animal. And then families will bring their animals in this weekend and place them in their stalls, and then becomes the everyday trip to town in order to clean the stall and feed the animal. I know a lot of families tend to camp on site, which is wonderfully encouraged. But I like my bed, so I'm not camping on site.
Those are long days anyways.
Yes, yeah. Yes, they
good
are.
Night's sleep. And then it opens to the public.
Yes.
On Tuesday.
Yes.
So just a couple days. Mm-hmm. And sort of tell us what people can expect when they get there.
Oh, goodness. I wish I had the calendar and the schedule right in front of me.
I do.
Oh, look at you.
You're so prepared.
But you can tell us when they walk in, what are they going to see? What are things that we should look
Hopefully
for?
Hopefully what you've seen every year. We are able to have the carnival this year, which is amazing. We're going to have the booths and the stands. I'm hoping that it is just as full as it has been in years prior. The children all of their animals are going to be in the barn, set up, ready, brushed, clean, hopefully happy. And the shows will begin. And I usually am always in the animal barn. I have been since I started attending fairs. And so it just immediately begins with kids showing their animals. You know, you have rabbits and you have turkeys and you have chickens. And they're just showing off their projects. And then you get to go on carnival rides.
Lots of good food and,
oh, yes.
and good stuff. You can still buy pre-sale tickets, too, for the unlimited rides, which
unlimited.
Is I know something you're interested in, Mac, but $30 pre-sale. So you can buy them ahead
of
time online.
Yes.
Or it's $40 at the gate.
That's still basically. Even a bargain.
Yeah.
And it's unlimited. So you can
unlimited
just keep going again
one day. Unlimited
again,
for one day.
But again and again.
Yep.
And again and again. And if you're my children, it is again and again and again.
Yes. Let me tell you, because we did not do the unlimited, and we spent more than $40 for one day.
So there you go.
So definitely, if you can do the pre-sale.
Because you think, well, we're not going to go on that many rides, and then you get there, and then your kids just say, again, please, please, and you can't say no.
Right.
So okay, backing up, though, a bit. So when you were a kid, were you involved in fairs, mm-hmm. or was it when you were here? So what was your involvement as a kid?
Just animals. That was basically my projects. I mainly stayed in the beef and the pig realm. But as I became an agriculture teacher, I moved into the lamb and the sheep realm, and goats are a first for me. So this is a learning experience for me this year.
So if I am not a professional farmer,
mm-hmm.
and I want to have, and I've got the space and it's legal wherever I might be living, and I want to do a backyard livestock animal of some kind.
Yeah.
What's the one you would recommend?
The one that I would recommend.
Yeah. Do I start with a cow?
Yeah, a cow. No, probably not. The one I would recommend, goodness, I would probably go with chickens.
Chickens?
Yeah.
Are they easy? Is that why? Or
they're small.
Okay.
They don't eat much. Well, and they're a good project, a good starter project. Mm-hmm. When you get into the larger animals, it takes a lot more time. And so if you're wanting to just start small, chickens, and I hear a lot of people have backyard chickens.
Yeah.
And so I think
the eggs are great.
The eggs are great.
Yeah. It's a good reward for that.
So when you were involved as a teacher, agricultural teacher, and a family came that wanted to start or wanted to start going to fair, mm-hmm. what would you recommend in that case?
Oh, for fair for kids, depending on the age of the child, I am very cautious when it comes to children and the child size. And so I don't immediately start out of the blocks with a steer because small ones, you know, they're small and they don't need to be pushed around, I guess, by a larger animal. But traditionally, I would go with the lamb. The lamb is a good starter and it'll make a good price at auction traditionally. And kids, it is a great learning experience for them. But for us, I don't like lambs. I don't know why. I just don't. And so I chose goat. Mm-hmm. I figure it's a good segue.
And this is your oldest daughter?
My oldest, yes. Okay. She's 11 this year.
And so. She was ready.
She was ready. She was ready last year. And sadly, with COVID, we had to kind of press pause on her aspirations of joining 4-H and having it her be her first market experience. I just didn't feel like it was going to pan out like she'd hoped. Yeah. So,
and other than animals, there's arts and crafts.
Yes.
And
I mean, Legos.
Tons. Yeah.
And Legos.
Lego displays.
Lego displays. Like if you have a kiddo that loves to build Legos, they can enter their creation. It's magical. I mean, photos, baking, if your child likes to bake. Adults like to bake. So
I was looking at the guidebook. I mean, it just goes mm-hmm. on and on. I mean, really, there's something for everyone to do with the fair.
Really is. And you don't have to be a part of 4-H in order to do it. You can enter it through an open show, basically. And yeah, no, I'm really excited to see everybody's entries this year.
So how fierce is the competition?
Ooh.
Or is everybody really supportive of each other?
Well, if you ask my mother-in-law, it's funny because you move into a small community and everybody knows everybody. And there is history here, as you know, mm-hmm. there's history here. And it's funny because the family name is around and everybody's like, well, they beat me, you know, back in when I was in high school.
Back in 1962, I pulled the red ribbon instead of the blue ribbon.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the competition is fierce, but it's all fun and games. It's all kind of a tongue in cheek. Mm. The adults involved just want these kids to have a good experience. So
if I accidentally suddenly became the judge of the goat competition.
Oh, goodness.
What am I looking for? Mm. How do I decide what a good goat is or what a winner goat is?
Do you really want to travel down that trail?
Maybe I don't. Well, I know I don't, but
it's funny. So when you're looking at a market animal, a lot of it, they want the animal to be able to walk in their own tracks. And so that means that their back foot is placed where their front foot has been. And so it's walking in their own tracks or close to it. They want them nice and square. They don't want to be bow-legged or pigeon-toed or anything like that. And a nice,
structured.
Structure, just a solidly built animal. So.
And is that trained? Do you train that into it?
Genetics and feeding.
Oh,
you got to feed them a lot of food.
I'm fascinated with walking in the tracks.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Do animals frequently not?
So if they have some sort of structural malfunction, they won't. And usually through breeding and genetics, farmers like to breed that out of them because if you're actually farming, what happens is if that structural issue is there, then that animal is uncomfortable. That animal is more prone to lameness or injury. And a farmer can't, you know, if they have hundreds of animals, it's very difficult. And so that structural awareness is important.
I don't think I'm structurally sound.
That could be.
Amazing. Whoever guessed.
Carly's favorite is the pigs.
Oh, yes.
Loves the pigs. And man, that looks hard. I mean, it just looks so challenging because those pigs, they just, I mean, you can tell they have personality.
Oh, yes.
Because, I mean, some of those kids, you just are like, your heart is breaking because they just know there's nothing they can do today at that moment to get that pig to do what they wanted to do.
Oh, well, and the stress that you see on their faces sometimes is hard to watch. It's a great learning experience, though, because it is kind of like life. Marshmallows are the key for pigs.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, they love marshmallows. Most of them do. I don't know if all of them do. I haven't asked them, but marshmallows.
And then babies. Do you know what kind of babies are going to be at the fair this year? Do we have baby pigs?
Consistently, we will usually have like baby dairy cows or baby pigs. I really hope the babies are here this year just because it's such a wonderful thing for the little ones to see.
Oh, yes.
My kids love them, so.
Lots of fun.
I'm trying to wrap my mind around marshmallows. Whether it's like the mini marshmallows, the big ones.
I don't think they care.
Do they like s'mores? Toasted.
That would be a high maintenance pig.
you can tell I'm not the farming type.
So I see on this type. Dairy events, mutton busting.
Oh, yes.
Is happening every day. And that's for kids.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
So that's kids try to.
Yes.
Hold
on tight. Oh. Throw a helmet on them and just let them go.
What's your favorite memory looking back as a child of a fair moment?
Oh, goodness. My favorite memory. Favorite memory. Yeah. You know, I think it's the food.
Yeah.
I am such a fan, and I know my father is too. It's just sharing that with my parents. Mm-hmm. Sharing fair with my parents is, I think, one of my most favorite memories. And my dad's a foodie, and so obviously I'm a foodie now too.
Oh, and fair food is the best.
And what is the best on the list?
Elephant ears.
All right.
The giant elephant ears. There's no way to replicate them.
Okay, and for the record, since we are on radio instead of on video, she just held her hands up about 2 feet apart.
Yeah. They are good, man. I mean, deep fried anything.
That's right? True.
Yeah. I mean, deep fried Oreos, deep fried corn dogs, elephant ears.
So I got to go with the elephant ears as well. Yeah. And you?
Well, maybe the cotton candy.
Oh, it's so sticky.
Sure. It's everything good. Is kind of messy. Well, you are there. And some big concerts this year too. Turner and Journey cover band, right?
Journey. Well, it's I think the lead singer of Journey.
From Journey. Yes.
But not the original.
Not the whole
group.
It was
the Steve Perry replacement.
Oh yeah. See,
front guy.
Yes. See, I don't follow Journey real well. Sorry. I do know some of the songs though.
Yeah.
But his name's similar to Steve Perry.
It is. Steve Gary.
Yeah. See, it kind of sounds like.
Which is tricky.
Yeah.
Former lead vocalist.
And he looks like him too. And I once saw like a split screen singing the same song, the two different guys, and they look alike, they sound alike. It's kind of strange, and I think
it's like a body double.
They cloned each other or something.
Well, invasion of the Body Snatchers.
When you can take that name too, right? People will buy your ticket.
Well, that's gonna be cool because there's a whole. I mean, Journey. Even if you're not a Journey fan, it's like probably 30 years worth of generation of people that like that.
Oh yes.
So it's a good choice. Whoever booked it.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's going to be a great night. People should just, if they haven't yet bought tickets for any of those shows, they should.
Yeah.
What a fun date night. Getting out in public.
Yep. We've brought our kids too, because it's nice outdoors. Let them run around and play. And those usually don't sell out just because there's so much space. Parking though is kind of interesting sometimes. So just, allow some time. Yeah. To relax.
And don't you know, worry. There is, I think, a tractor to come pick you up.
Oh, there you go.
See, that's like a ride by itself to me.
It really is. Throw your hands in the air.
I kind of like go back and forth between fantasizing being the guy driving that and not, because I think it seems like it'd be fun, but then it seems like an awesome responsibility because people are going to like fall off or something.
Yeah,
and
that would be traumatizing.
it would bother me. Like, I was at the wheel when that happened.
Yeah.
That's why I also don't volunteer for the trolley.
Oh.
I'm like deathly afraid of like hitting something, and I'm the guy that ruined the trolley.
Oh, you know, I actually kind of I feel for you because I associate those feelings. I understand.
Yeah. I don't mind it happen. I just don't want everybody to know I'm the guy that did it.
Oh, there we go.
So what is your role besides being a 4-H person and a mom with children involved? What's your role with the fair?
That's just it. That's okay. My role with the fair. I'm also the liaison for the fair board. That's my professional hat. So I get to go to their meetings and listen to their great conversation and their amazing ideas. And yeah, that's.
Now, as a liaison, do you get to participate? Or yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. So you're not just sitting there in the room and, I'll take this all back to the commission.
I guess I could just sit there. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time just sitting there. Like, if I have an idea, I like to share my ideas, so I'll raise my hand.
But you can't vote.
No, I think I cannot vote.
The difference, right? Yeah. So non-voting.
Non-voting position. Yeah. So I'm an observer and a contributor.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And about how many people come to the fair? Do you know?
Oh. A lot.
Yeah, I don't know. So Crab Fest is 15 to 20,000.
Fair is the same amount, I would assume.
But more days.
More days, yeah.
It might be spread out over more
days.
That's
true.
But I mean, in past years, I would imagine it's Crab Fest numbers. I've never counted or looked at the numbers. Yeah. I bet the fair board knows. I should ask them.
I'm sure they do. I put you on the spot. I apologize.
Yes. I'm like, I did not write
that
on my hand in my Sharpie to answer that question.
I have this terrible problem that I just say what pops into my head.
Yes, you do.
So it's like all over the place. That's why Alana looks at me like, you are a terrible interviewer and you're far more organized.
See, I'm his editor. Unfortunately, on live radio, I can't edit you in time.
See, when I write that, I could go back and I'll put it all in our correct order and it makes sense. But verbally on the spot, it's...
That's okay. Well, we're excited.
She could be over there going, psh, psh, psh.
Yeah. She should have a buzzer that cuts my mic off.
So, Clatsop County Fair, summer days, country ways, opens on Tuesday, goes through Saturday.
Yeah.
Plenty to do every day. It's 10 to 10 is all the food and the amusements. Mm-hmm. Everything else, there are some specific schedules if people definitely want to go see the goats or the pigs. So, you're definitely going to want to go to the Clatsop County Fair Board website. Yes.
What is that website?
I don't have that.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were looking right at it.
I know, I wasn't. Well, I have it.
I'm sure if you Google, it would come
Google
right up.
The Google knows.
It is, yes.
Google a lot knows of everything.
Clatsop County Fair.
Yes.
And there are some pretty detailed. So if there's one thing that you definitely want to see, it's going to happen a couple
For
times.
For me, it's going to be the goats.
There you go.
And is there a particular goat that's... Do kids name their animals?
Yes. His name is Clay. And so,
Clay.
Yes.
Clay the goat.
Clay the goat. My kids have a thing with the letter C. So we have Coconut and Carlos and Clay.
Okay, see, I was about to say Clay the Goat is either the best name ever or the worst name ever. I'm not sure which, but when you put it with the other two, it's brilliant.
Yeah, it is.
I do.
Clay, Coconut, and...
Carlos.
Carlos.
Oh, yep, I can see why Clay has to go, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other two sound more interesting.
Clay's the odd man out.
He's the one, and he knows. He knows what's coming.
Okay, and not to end on a horrible note, because we still have a little bit of time, but when you sell Clay...
Mm-hmm. It could go either way.
What's going to happen with Clay?
It's a toss-up. It's a coin toss. So actually, one of the projects that the kids do for 4-H is they go out and they market their animal and they take their fair letter to businesses around town. And so a lot of businesses have had a lot of visits from kids. And so she's always very hopeful when somebody asks her if he can be a pet. And so she's like, yay! And I'm like, you don't want him as a pet.
So I was going to say we're pulling for you, Clay, but now I'm not so sure. maybe Clay deserves a...
he's a great goat, just sometimes not.
Well, I certainly hope, because you're not allowed to politic here. We don't do politicking, but we certainly hope that a certain goat that rhymes with bay might win the blue ribbon.
There we go.
There you go. Oh, yes.
Well, thank you so much. Yes. We know you have a million different hats and things that you're doing, so we really appreciate your stopping by.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We'll have to bring you back.
And we'll see you at the fair.
Oh, yes.